This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Coming up today, Hate Watching 2012. We'll flip through the TV shows that we groaned about but couldn't wait for the next episode. And the theft of a giant Christmas statue brings a town and a group of artists together. We'll also talk to the only man, other than Michael Crichton, to write a Michael Crichton bestseller. But first, ideas worth vetting.
But what if somebody said they could change your brain by touching your head? Well, that's exactly what I'm here to talk about today.
Brain massage, vortex math, and wacky theories about giants are examples of hokey science discussed at locally staged TEDx conferences. TED stands for Technology, Education, and Design, and its motto is Ideas Worth Spreading. Tickets for TED's meticulously produced conferences go for $4,000 to $8,000, and the talks are then posted online to be viewed by millions of people worldwide. TEDx conferences are locally produced, always free, and presented under strict licensing agreements. Content, however, is up to the local teams. Last week, the TED brass issued a public letter telling TEDx organizers to better vet their guests and to be on the lookout for red flag topics or have their licenses revoked. Phil Plait is an astronomer and a writer for Slate.com and a TEDx speaker. He's a proponent of scientific skepticism and applauds TED's letter. Phil, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me on.
You spoke at a TEDx event in Boulder, Colorado last year. Was your talk vetted?
Yes, it was, but I'm kind of in a different case than usual because I'm a published scientist. I have a very public track record of being careful. I admit my mistakes and correct them. So when somebody like me, who is a scientist, comes on, the chances are what's going to be said is something that's maybe a little bit more based in reality, but that's not always the case. And it's not always easy to tell the difference between science and pseudoscience for people who may not be experienced looking at them. So I'm really happy that this guideline was sent out to the TEDx folks. I think it's great.
Well, your talk jumped a rung, and it was posted as a TED talk. That sometimes happens, the sort of trickle-up effect of TEDx. But let's go back to that letter. The TEDx organization defined pseudoscience and came up with some guidelines for making sure that speakers and topics are worthy of the TED brand. What did they suggest, Phil?
Well, a lot of it is sort of basic stuff. You know, what history does this person have? Is there a Wikipedia entry on them? That's a good first cut. Let me say that. Going to Wikipedia and looking them up. However, anybody can edit Wikipedia, and there are people with different ideas out there. So if somebody is, let me just use the word crackpot, just to really be out there, they might have followers who believe them, and those people might put up a Wikipedia page about them. So you can't rely on that, but it's a good first cut. Look for scientific research this person has done. Have they published in respectable, peer-reviewed scientific journals? Have they given other talks? Are there other people in their field or in other fields who have written about them or said things about them? Now, these aren't necessarily sufficient to change or to separate science from pseudoscience. But as a first step, as a necessary step, I think that's important. And they list a lot of other red flags as well. People making outrageous claims, making claims that don't seem to follow from what they're saying. You know, we can cure cancer by looking at somebody or just things like that. These are all the sorts of things people should have in mind while they're doing this.
Here's a case of point. TED Talk removed from the TED website, but still available on YouTube. Randy Powell here from a TEDx event in Charlotte, North Carolina.
The saying is that mathematics is the language of God, but until now, no one's been speaking God's language. What we have is the grand unified field theory. With it, you can create inexhaustible free energy, end all diseases, produce unlimited food, travel anywhere in the universe, build the ultimate supercomputer, artificial intelligence, and obsolete all existing technology. How is it possible to make such outrageous claims? Because we have the secret that connects all of the world.
Carl Zimmer, he's been a guest on this program, among those who called that one out. So, Phil, what are the red flags organizers should have noticed about this presentation?
Well, the new agey music may have been a key right away. I've never heard music like that in a TED Talk. But honestly, right away, outrageous claims, way too many we're gonna fix everything in the universe kind of claims. Free energy, cure disease, travel anywhere in the universe. These sorts of things are immediate and very loud alarm bells in my head. Plus the idea of free energy, that violates one of the most basic laws of physics that we have shown to be true a gazillion times over the past several centuries. So somebody coming up and saying, why with just math we can, you know, sidestep this, really should be making the people vetting it squirm in their seats.
Your TED Talk was called How to Defend the Earth from Asteroids, correct?
Yes.
Okay, at first blush, that could sound a little far out. I mean, is there a risk of TED's new recommendations having a chilling effect on emerging science or radical ideas or new approaches to things worth discussing?
Yes, but that's because it has to be used carefully. Like any tool, it can be used for good or for bad. And in this case, for example, with my talk, we know that asteroids are a threat. We know the dinosaurs were wiped out by asteroids. We know we get hit by them. So looking something like that up is not that hard. And you find astronauts, engineers, scientists, astronomers, NASA taking this issue seriously. So right away, that establishes some credibility for it. On the other hand, if I were saying we need to use a free energy levitation device to raise our consciousness and push asteroids away, that's different. And I would rather... I don't know where I'd rather come down. Would I rather not see something that may be useful pushed away, or would I rather see it praised? The TED folks have to be careful of their brand. Mm. And in that case, they're going to be a little conservative, and they may push away something that might be an interesting line of thinking. However, this isn't just make a decision. This is research that decision. Call people. Talk to them. If their brand is that important, then it's important that they do the necessary groundwork to make sure that what they're putting on stage is acceptable. And I don't mind seeing somebody standing up there and saying, here's an interesting line of thought that may not work, but it's something we should be looking into. As long as that sort of caveat is made, I'm fine. It's just that you can't put something up where somebody's talking about violating six different laws of physics before breakfast, and just letting him go on and saying how this is completely possible when it's clearly not.
Well, Phil, I want to thank you for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me on. This was fun.
And by the way, TED is partnering with NPR on the TED Radio Hour, and we know that they manage and rehearse and script TED Talks with great care. Question is how to be vigilant about the thousands of TEDx events around the world. So Phil Plait was talking with us about an open letter written to the TEDx organizers about how to keep it above board. Phil's a writer for Bad Astronomy blog on Slate.com, and you can find a link to his article and view some controversial TEDx talks and share your thoughts on our Facebook page.